Welcome to Millington Baptist Church. The message you are about to hear was delivered at Millington by Dr. Peter Pendell.
10 years ago, I was in Beijing in the People's Republic of China. And I was only there for a few days, but the man that I was staying with was a newsman related to a family in our church, in fact, Chris Billing. And so I stayed in his apartment, and he took me to meet a house pastor in Beijing. He knew the house pastor because he had had some kind of contact with him for the news media at the time. He was there for CNN, I believe, or one of the major news medias as their station chief. I will not forget sitting in that man's little apartment, not much of a place to live in for you and I as we compare ourselves with him, but it was where his church met. He looked ancient to me, and I guess he was. He was first imprisoned with Watchman Nee when the communists took over the Chinese mainland. And then after that, there would be times of suffering and times of persecution, and at the very least, times of harassment. I remember the week that I was there, they happened to be having their five-year People's Congress in Beijing, and there were banners all over the place about the communist government. And it was at that time that this man decided, I have to lay low, I have to be quiet for this week, because if I'm not, then the troopers will come in and take my people as we meet together. And so there was no service that Sunday, a decision that he made and his leaders made to protect the people. It's real. It's out there. I don't know if that man is alive today. I know that he would be arrested from time to time simply to be harassed. But I came home from that visit with him deeply impressed by a man who loved God in ways that I'm not sure I had come to know God, but was suffering for it on a regular basis and was willing to suffer for it regardless of the cost. And I was impressed most of all, not by a bitterness that I would expect to be a part of his life, but I was impressed most of all by a softness and a tenderness that was evident in this man. And it taught me something about how to follow Jesus. The persecuted church, we're called to remember them. Every once in a while it goes off my radar, though, and it probably does for you as well. You know, you get so much information that comes across the screen that you just have a hard time holding on to it all. In fact, if you put stuff on a table and you keep putting stuff on a table, eventually some of it falls off. Well, that's the way it is with things like this. You get more stuff and more stuff and more stuff and more stuff, and finally it begins to fall off and you don't remember them. And then you wake up one day and you realize, oh, there's people out there suffering, and they're suffering simply because they follow after Jesus, and I need to once again take hold of their cause and make it my cause. Persecuted church. There may be another problem, and it comes from my law and order kind of orientation, and that is I've assumed that all the people who were bad were in jail and all the people who were good were not in jail. Ain't true. You know as well as I do that that's not the way it works, though that's the way it's supposed to work. That's not the way it works. And a simple history of God's people down through the generations shows us that that's not the way it works. The good people are often in jail. They're often the ones who face the persecution. In fact, let me turn you back to the passage that you may have looked at while we were worshiping just a while ago. Most of this morning comes from Hebrews. This one included Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 through 40. After talking about the great men and women of faith, it goes on to say that others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sodden too, they were put to death by the sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. That's a simple memory of times past, but it's true today that not all of the persecuted church is in jail. In fact, large numbers are in places of persecution that is worse than jail. And to go to jail might be easier than living the way that they have to live. And some of these people remembered here are a picture of that. But wherever they are, we're called, you and I, to remember them. That's our calling. Remember those who are in prison. That's what it tells us. Very specifically, as if you were their fellow servants, and those who are mistreated, as if you yourselves were suffering. It's not a detached kind of remembering them. It's not some kind of long distance remembering them, though we can't necessarily get close to them in physical proximity. It is as those who are mistreated, as if you yourselves were suffering with them, as if you yourselves were in jail with them or were suffering like they are suffering. In fact, God may call many of us in the days ahead to stand beside those who are suffering for the cause of Christ. That may be here, it may be someplace else. Wherever it is, he calls us to stand beside them as those who are aligned with them. Hebrews chapter 10 gives us a picture of others before us. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Did you get your 401k reading this week? Kind of monopolizes our mind, doesn't it? Well, what's going to happen to me? What do I do next? How do I recover? This is in a totally different ballpark that we're talking about this morning. This is not 401ks. This is life and all of possessions. And all of this becomes more pointed and more in the spotlight when you begin to hear the words of Jesus, when he says, I was in prison and you came to visit me. That puts the spotlight on it. Now, you may know that Jesus' teaching in that passage is about serving others, prisoners included. And he says that when we serve others in the midst of their need, it's just as if we were serving them. In fact, it says that we are serving him. It's not even just as if we're serving him. We are serving him. I will remember, perhaps for the rest of my life, the statement that I paraphrased from Mother Teresa, though I can't remember the exact words. She said something like, when I look into the face of a man or a woman on the streets of Calcutta, I look into the face of Jesus. Dirty, impoverished, diseased, sickening, hard to imagine. But yet God says, remember them. I'm really hoping that the stories that we share this morning and some of the resources that we tell you about this morning will help you to, like me, get the kickstart that we really need, because all too often we forget. And what we need is a regular reminder, and I'm committed in my own heart to do this once a year on the International Day of the Persecuted Church, because we all need to remember and we all forget. We tend to forget about the people who are around us in other parts of the world in particular who are suffering, and if they're just remembered, they are encouraged. If we just pray for them, they are encouraged. I want to point us towards some regular reminders of the persecuted church, and I'll get to those in just a few minutes. In fact, things like our prayer sheet, which we've begun to look at one piece of it every week, if you've looked at it recently, and I think from time to time I'll move this to the top of the page instead of to the bottom of the page in the list of things that we need to pray for, some example of a persecuted Christian that you and I can be reminded to pray for, or a group of people or a nation of people that you and I can remember to pray for on a regular basis. All of the ways that I talk about this morning are ways that you and I can be reminded to, again, remember them, which is what we're called to do. And I would propose to you this morning that the very best way that we can remember them is we can intercede in prayer. It would be nice to be able to visit them, though that's not possible for most of us. I'll never see that man in Beijing again. I don't even know if he's on the face of the earth anymore, and I'll never see his congregation. I don't know what they're doing anymore in the midst of modern-day China. This has been 10 years since that time. One of our men just came back from Zimbabwe, and he knows what it's like to be persecuted among the Christians there. So from time to time, you and I travel to a different place around the world, and we might know something of what it's like firsthand. But honestly, the best thing that we can do for the persecuted church is to pray for men and women who are persecuted or in prison or harassed or in some way being cut out from the flow of life in the land in which they live. Because honestly, what the persecuted church needs is strength and power, the power of the Holy Spirit. They need either the power of the Holy Spirit to see them released and be able to be free from the persecution that they live in the midst of, or they need the power of the Holy Spirit to stay right where they are if that's where God chooses to leave them. And he often chooses to leave people in those settings. The reason why is because he needs his people in every spot on the face of the earth, including in prison. And the reason why is because prison has a powerful way, if men and women will yield themselves to it, to allow them to draw closer to God in the midst of their need. You remember Joseph? Some of us are looking at the life of Joseph on Friday mornings, and we're finding that it was during those long, long days and weeks and months in prison that he grew strong and trusted in the living God. It was during those days that he found strength, because he had to have strength, and he found no other place to get it except in the living God. And the interesting thing to find in some of those places in prison where Joseph found himself is that it didn't seem to do him any good. Remember the time when he told the two men about what was going to happen to them, and one of them lived on? It was the wine tester for the king, the Pharaoh. He stayed there, Joseph did, because the wine tester whom he had helped forgot him. So even in the midst of doing the right thing, sometimes they're going to stay where they are, and so we need to pray that God will give them strength where they are, because God's hand moves through the prayers of men and women who trust in Jesus Christ and fervently ask God to move in their lives. That's the way he works. And the reason why he works that way is because he loves to see us in a place where we say, we can't affect the things that we want to happen, Lord. They are beyond us. We can't do this. But we know that you can. You can, O God. Let me give you two examples from the scriptures of people of God crying out on behalf of those who were persecuted and see what happened to them. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 through 16 is one of those places in your pew Bible on page 1091 if you want to turn there, or if you have your own Bible, it's Acts chapter 12, verse 5 through 16. You might remember that James and Peter had been imprisoned because they simply wouldn't be quiet about the truth in Christ. And so verse 5 of chapter 12 of Acts says, "So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. 'Quick, get up,' he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, 'Put on your clothes and sandals.' And Peter did so. 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me.' The angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating.' When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people were gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, 'Peter is at the door. You're out of your mind,' they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Telling James and the brothers about him, he said, 'And then he left.' About this, he said, 'And then he left for another place.'" Do you ever pray and say, "Lord, I don't think I have enough faith to pray for this"? God's not bound by your lack of faith. He can do it anyway. And he will surprise you even in the midst of your lack of faith. The church didn't expect Peter to show up at the door because their faith wasn't strong. God is not dependent on my faith being strong. Sometimes he simply wants to see my obedience. Whether the full faith is as rich as I would hope it was, he simply wants to hear me talk to him about persecuted Christians. Because when I talk to him about persecuted Christians, what I'm saying is, "We need help, Lord. We can't do this. We know we can't." It's an acknowledgement of my lack of help and my lack of strength. But it is also an acknowledgement of his great, great power And even if my strength isn't all that I wish it was, he's not limited by that. The church is helpless. There's nothing they can do except pray. And prayer is everything. In answer to his people's prayers, the angel shows up at the prison cell, leads him down the road. The church is helpless. God is mighty. Go over to chapter 16 of that same book of Acts, if you would, and you may remember this passage. It's about Paul and his colleagues. If I start at verse 22, you'll know that Paul and Silas are being attacked because they're threatening the money sources of certain people. And they're bringing what they call strange teaching into the crowd. And the crowd joined in the attack, verse 22 says, against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all of the prison doors fell open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. We are helpless. You are mighty. That's what prayer says. We are helpless. In this case, it was the people who were in jail who were praying. But in any case, it says, we are helpless. You are mighty. Let me give you a picture. It's a picture of empty hands. And I think it's one of the richest pictures for praying that I can think of. Some of you learned this one, didn't you? Or this one. That's fine. That's okay. Let me teach you another one. It's this one. Because this one says, I have nothing to bring to solve the problem, Lord. It's beyond me. Look at my hands. They're empty. There's nothing there. I have no recommendations. I simply cry out to you with empty hands. This one says, Lord, I'm not ordering you to do anything. What you do is your choice. You know what's best for persecuted Christians. You know their names, every single one of them. I only know a few. But I lift up empty hands to you because I don't have any orders for you, God. You know what's best. Empty hands says I've cleansed them, Lord. They're empty of the sin that holds on so much to my life because I'm forgiven and I come in the name of Jesus Christ to you. It's the very best thing we can do for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted is lift up, as Paul says, holy hands and intercede for them on a regular basis. But I forget. I forget to do it. I forget them. And you likely forget them, except for a few of you. So let me tell you about some reminders. The weekly prayer reminder will have somebody from the persecuted church listed in it every week. We'll get some kind of information to put in there so that you and I can be reminded. And please don't be upset if we move that to the top of the list, because we need that reminder too, that they suffer, and they suffer because they hold common a faith with you and with me in Jesus Christ. Besides that, there's hard copy information that you can get your hands on a regular basis. In fact, there's some information on the Welcome Center in the back, and you can see it there. But I would ask those of you who have a computer and have some connection to the Internet not to take those until next week so that men and women who don't have computer connection to the Internet can take that hard copy material. Then next week, whatever's left, you're free to take it, and you can look at it at your leisure. But there's also in your insert in the bulletin websites where you can go and you can find out about the persecuted church. There's prisoneralert.com, there's persecution.com, there's Open Doors USA. The film that we saw just a little while ago came from Open Doors USA. I want us to go on one of those websites now just to get some sense of what's there. So if you can put us up there, Gary, thanks. This is the prisoneralert.com website, and Pete Pete is up there with a mouse that he can operate this for him. Go to the top again, would you please, Pete? Yeah. You can see prisoneralert.com, and this is a ministry, a Voice of the Martyrs, a ministry that started a long time ago by Richard Wurmbrand, but continues on and has good leadership. And you can see some of the things you can do. You can be an advocate, writing to prisoners, persecution worldwide, and donate now. The ones that I'm showing you are reliable organizations, to the best of my knowledge. And I want you to take care of the needs here at Millington. But I'm telling you, you can trust these organizations. On the left-hand side, you can see under persecution, and there's a number of file folders there. But the one that's up on the face of the screen right now is a man in Vietnam. He was arrested in March of 2007. And there's information about him. In May 2008, this man, a Vietnamese Protestant church leader and lawyer, was sentenced to 5 years in prison and followed by 4 years of house arrest. He was accused of a wide range of crimes, including conspiring with terrorists in their efforts to promote human rights efforts, including religious rights and democracy. Sometimes it won't be as honest as that. I'm told that those who are arrested in places like Saudi Arabia are accused of trafficking drugs. When you see that kind of thing on the news, check it and say, I'll bet it wasn't drugs, I'll bet it was Jesus. Because frequently that is covered up. Just go down a little bit, if you would. That map is there. Do you see at the top there, here's Hanoi? You remember Hanoi, and you remember it especially because of the Hanoi Hilton with one of the presidential candidates. But did you know that we have a man there? Will Rope is right there in Hanoi now, and his mom Lynn is right here as well. Will is in Hanoi now, and he's teaching English as a second language to technical college students. And he's sharing his faith in Jesus Christ. He's there for that purpose. So when you remember Hanoi, you might remember Will Rope. You can see where Hanoi is. It was one time separated, and when I was in the service, we were in the southern part and sometimes in the north in battle. Go down a little bit more, would you, Pete? Here are some others that you can easily go to, and you can find out information about them. Let's go to the one in the middle on the top there. Yeah, the Laos. He's from Laos. And it'll bring you to the next page. This is awfully easy to do. You could print the fact sheet if you wanted to. You can get information about this man in March 2008. This pastor and seven other pastors from his area in Laos were arrested when entering Thailand to attend meetings. Voice of the Martyrs contacts report they went the wrong way trying to avoid a police checkpoint. When the police later searched their bags, they found two Bibles and some letters, and so they were arrested because of that. Go down a little bit, you can see. See, there's the map between Thailand and Vietnam is Laos. Go up to the top right, if you would, Pete. Here's what you can do. You can write an encouraging letter just above there. Yeah, you can write an encouraging letter. Let's create the letter, or let's go to the next page, Pete, just down below that. Create letter. Yeah, a little bit down below. Next box down. Next box. The box right below it. Write an encouraging letter. Yeah, there it is. This is amazing. They even walk you through, and you can do it in the language and the script of the nation that you're writing to. They'll give you guidance in writing the introduction, then you choose the phrases, and then you preview and you print. You do all those things as you go along, and you finally have a letter that you can send to that prisoner. Let's go back to the page that was before this, though. Just below that, to the right of that one, Be an Advocate, where it said write an encouraging letter, up, go up a little bit, right there, Be an Advocate. Here, you can send an email, and this will click into your email service. You can send an email, in this case, to the permanent representative of the Lao People's Democratic Republic of the United Nations. They don't have an embassy here, apparently, but they do have something in the United Nations in New York City. And you can click on that, and if this were hooked up to your email service, it would click right through to your email, and the address would be in the to section, and all you have to do is write the letter, and they'll give you the guidance in terms of writing letters. It's an amazing ability. I was thinking this past week as I was preparing this, if you're a homeschooler, what a great thing to do with your kids. Yeah, Sharon, isn't that? Yeah. I mean, what a great thing to do with your kids so that they can learn about their brothers and sisters in other places around the world. Or maybe something to do with your Sunday school class. You take them to your house and you go on the web and you show them how they can do that. Or maybe you're a high schooler today and you care about people who live in other parts of the world. You care about the rest of the world, in fact. Here's how you can do it. Bottom line, remember them. That's what he calls us to do. Remember them.